RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Money Talks, and Farzan Irani is back with us, beaming in from, I'm not even going to ask you where, Farzan, you get around so much that I can't keep up anymore. Where are you now? Somewhere, not New Zealand.
Somewhere, not in New Zealand yet. I'm somewhere in Asia.
Are you anywhere near a nuclear bunker?
No, unfortunately not.
Find out where your nearest one is. We've talked about so many things since we started our chats well over a year ago, 18 months ago, and many of what could happen we've talked about. And I feel like we're at a moment of, when we're saying what could happen, you know, the moment's kind of on the doorstep. Are you feeling that way?
Yes, that's right. I think if our listeners go back 18 months and they heard me saying something along the lines of World War III, they must have gone, what is this guy smoking or drinking, you know? Yeah. But there we go. Here we are. This is exactly what I keep saying. You've got to have the foresight to know what's coming and not trying to, nervously try and get all your ducks lined up. So if you have enough time to prepare for these things, you're not panicking. And you know exactly what's coming. And depending on what happens out there, you can maneuver and change your strategy accordingly.
So it's kind of hard to know, don't know about you, but trying to work out what's going on here with the, well, now attacks on Russian territory. I think a weapons depot. And maybe even after this chat, more has happened. Those long-range attack and missiles, which can be conventional or nuclear. So obviously, Russia's been putting up red lines, and this is kind of one of them. Their nuclear doctrine has changed, authorizing legally a response with nuclear weapons if they so decide, streamlining that process. Is it America? Well, they're in control, aren't they? They're targeting and guiding these weapons and supplying the weapons. So they will be deciding on the targets, you'd think. Is this a game of bluff, or do you think this feels like the real thing, Farzan? I know a long-winded way of getting to that, but that's really what the issue is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You've asked the right question, but everyone wants an answer. And what I believe in my entire life and what I do is it's about asking the right questions. So if we just go back two or three steps, you'll have a clearer picture if I can explain this through. As I'd explained, the deep state or the bureaucracy, there's a global one and there's obviously an American one. And they wanted to stop Donald Trump from becoming the next president again so they can carry on with their agenda. As we saw what happened with COVID and the authoritarian measures, plans to put in a CBDC, all that kind of stuff. Now, what's happened is obviously Donald Trump's come back into the picture and he won quite convincingly, let's be honest. Some of the people I follow had clearly said that would happen. And that is why they read that kind of information as well. And that is why there were the assassination attempts. And I'd mentioned, watch out between, even though he gets elected, there's a time gap between when he gets elected and when he's sworn in. Now, there's a few problems that we have in the next 60 days, as they call it, 60-day countdown to Armageddon. What's essentially happening, mate, is the plot's going to thicken. We won't understand all of it, but they're trying to figure out how to subvert his presidency, as they did the last one. What people got to understand is Donald Trump, when he came in the last time, he wasn't a politician. So they said, oh, to gain confidence in the government, let us fill up your cabinet so the, you know, there's global bondholders, this, that, all that kind of stuff, so people will have confidence in your government. This time around, he's smarter, because if you remember last time, he was just firing people right, left and center, because and the media was mocking him. But the thing was, he wanted something done and they would do the exact opposite. As we said, the neocons, and in spite of them in his cabinet, Trump started no wars. And in fact, he wanted to pull out of Afghanistan in a proper fashion, which wasn't done. Okay, so where are we now? Now that he's come in, he is not, as you can see, some of his appointments are quite different to what the legacy in Washington wants it to be. Some might go a certain way. Some might still be the old guys because there are forces in play behind the scenes. But between now and then, what they've got to do, as I mentioned this last time, I think on our radio chat, NATO is trying to get about $100 billion ready. So if Trump comes on day one and he and RFK are against the Ukraine war or any war, and he cuts off the funding, they have $100 billion to continue this charade going on. That'd be a fighting for Ukraine democracy, which even the American citizens don't agree with anymore. And I think just this morning, just yesterday or this morning, Biden's approved another $275 million. So you can see what's going on. That Biden still has to give them enough money just to get this going in case Trump pulls out. But what's happened in the meantime is a scarier factor. He has clearly said he's going to stop the war. Russia knows. So Russia's slowed down. Russia's just gone, okay, we're just going to manage this for the next 60 days. But if you remember, I don't know, about 2 or 3 months back, I said the British Prime Minister had jumped on a plane, gone to the U.S. with papers in his hand. And
they said no.
He said no, right? So Biden was pushed aside by the Pentagon, and obviously that's what's happening. So we averted it at that stage. Now they know, the deep state knows, we've got 60 days before he comes in and stops everything. So they're trying to kind of get Russia to do something, to attack a NATO country.
So Russia knows that, right? They know that.
Yeah, they know that. They know. They know that, but at the end of the day, Putin's only going to... How long can you be your president and not attack back if your citizens are being attacked in Russia? So this is the difference, right? It is not, the war is not in Ukraine. Ukraine's now actually a day back. Use these weapons, which Russia had said was a red line, because if you're using these UK and US-based weapons and they have to be directed by satellites to hit Russia, somewhere in Russia. So obviously UK and US is at war with Russia. That's what they've said. So obviously that had all gone on hold. And in the last day and a half, you've seen Zelensky has actually said, yes, we did target. I think there were 6 missiles launched, 5 were taken down.
Yeah, but it wasn't Ukraine. This is my point before. I should have made it clear. It wasn't Ukraine doing the targeting. They got no one who can operate this weaponry. It takes years to train people up for that. So, and as you pointed out, they don't have the assets above satellites and the, you know, the communication required to do all this. It's the Americans. So they pick the targets and they can cherry pick them to military bases and try and avoid any civilian casualties. It's sort of like playing a game, trying to sort of pull out without losing face. Because it's not the Ukrainians. If they had, the control, I mean, I could see them going nuts and bringing it all on. See what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like a game of bluff or something.
No. So Ukraine can fire them, but exactly as you said, it's the US and the UK that have the satellites and the technology to enable it to land in Russia. And this is the problem we have. So Russia is saying, we know the gloves are off now. We know it's not just Ukraine doing this, because not only have you given them your missiles, it is your technology that's going to enable them to fire them into Russia.
So and people and personnel.
Exactly. So this is what, even though Russia knows Trump's coming, but in 60 days, if they cause carnage in Russia, Russia's not going to sit back. And just after this happened, there's a G20 summit going on in Brazil at the moment. Obviously, Putin hasn't flown there, but he signed the nuclear doctrine, which actually allows them to escalate it. It doesn't have to be nuclear weapons for them to use nuclear weapons. Even traditional weapons fired at them, and they can use nuclear weapons. And from my sources, as I've said, this is a very scary time in the next 60 days. We don't need to worry whether it's in New Zealand or Asia for now, because it's not a full-blown nuclear war. But if Russia does say enough is enough, if they get enough of this, they could nuke somewhere in Ukraine, most probably Kiev, just to tell the West, is this what you really want? And the citizens then will rise up. Because America has clearly said, American citizens have voted, we don't want this war. We want America to go a certain way, America first policies, and America is going to pull out. Now, what you've also got to see with this election, how it impacts other countries. Obviously, New Zealand had moved away from Labour in the previous elections. But the very next day, the German parliament collapsed, the government collapsed. There's talk there's going to be massive problems in 2 other countries. Well, 3, Canada, Australia, and the UK. UK, we can already see there's lack of free speech and people are rising up against the prime minister there. And Australia and Justin Trudeau in Canada, obviously left-leaning governments, they're in trouble. As soon as Trump got elected, they're like, we have a problem. We've got to figure out how we can handle Trump. So there was a bigger global agenda that was going on behind the scenes. And this affects money, right? So
I was going to say, what does that mean for money?
Yeah. So if people understand what was going on, again, without going into too much details about different instruments, but I think one of your guests has been talking about gold. What people misunderstand is gold is not going to go up when it's inflation. Gold goes up when you lose confidence in government, when there's scary times, there's war escalations, Armageddon. It's like your last insurance policy. So people would have been realizing gold prices are going up because this whole rhetoric around the election and the wars and all of that was going on. And obviously the central banks in Asia were dumping treasuries or not renewing the U.S. treasuries and in fact then buying gold because of what happened with SWIFT and the Russian reserves frozen. So that is what was happening. The day Donald Trump got elected, you saw a massive swing down in gold for 2 days running. So this is what happens. It's to do with geopolitics and a lot of the factors. Now, let's say, for example, if I thought Trump was winning and I wanted to short the gold market, I could have made a lot of money by shorting the gold market, knowing exactly if that played out, what was going to happen. And the U.S. stocks and the U.S. dollar rose up, New Zealand and all other currencies went down. So this is how money can be made if you know what could happen and what impact it has on what currency and so on and so forth. And it had been going down, gold had been going down. And as soon as this Ukraine missiles was shot over the last day, gold is back up. So you've just got to understand what is happening and how it affects financial instruments. If there was a nuclear launch, can you imagine what would happen to the share portfolios around the world? Because they would just panic and your share portfolio could take a massive hit. But they wouldn't collapse. They wouldn't collapse overnight. No, because they also have plans where they shut down markets. And yeah, this is what's going to happen over the next year and a half, 2 years. There will be capital controls that certain countries, especially Europe, will put in place to make sure the money doesn't leave Europe and run to places like America and Southeast Asia. There will also be, that's why they're pushing for the CBDC. There's other things coming. Again, some things I can discuss on the radio, some things not. Yeah. But you've just got to understand how this could affect you or your share portfolio or your retirement savings, for a matter of fact.
Well, then you'd also have to factor in, Farzan, because there are calls now to remove Biden, 25th Amendment, whatever that is, where, you know, you're mentally incapacitated, take him out, you've got to replace him with the vice president.
She's going to do the same thing. They're both puppets. They just sign whatever's in front of them.
Yeah, but who's worse, you know?
Well, I don't know who's worse because the whole thing is it's not none of them anyway is doing it. It's just a signature on a piece of paper. In fact, they can blame Biden and say, oh, he's cuckoo. He's not exactly right there. But that's the thing.
Disregard orders?
Well, they're not doing anything anyways. Why did Biden say no to using these weapons just 2.5 months back? But then just now, literally in the last week, he's kind of said, okay, you can use them in the last 3 days. So the deep state, as I told you on my last call, regardless of whether Trump wins or not, they have to get USA involved in a NATO war. NATO is irrelevant, if I'm being honest. NATO should have been disbanded a long time back. So NATO has to start a war by saying, look, Russia is going to take over Europe. If you don't stop them at Ukraine, they're going to take over Europe. If Russia really wanted to do that, Putin's been around since 1999, and he's been holding back even in this war. It's a strategic one. So I can tell you now, Ukraine is in trouble because Ukraine could be flatlined, literally flatlined. And then we'll see the fun with BlackRock and the JP Morgans, because BlackRock has a lot of investment in the rebuilding fund in Ukraine. In fact, if you remember, there was a senator in the U.S., Lindsey Graham, I think. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all about peace and democracy in Ukraine. They were helping the Ukrainian people. But then I think in one of the chats, he let it slip that there was a massive $12 trillion gas field
in Ukraine. Oh, okay.
So it's all about the money. Yep. It's all about the money, mate. They think third time lucky, but this time Europe also, when we go into World War III, when it is a full-on world war, because NATO's trying to expand in Asia as well, if you see with Japan and South Korea, it's like a Southeast Asian NATO they're trying to set up. So, yeah, it is world war. It is world war. We are lucky that Donald Trump's come in a way. I'm not saying he's a perfect person there, but it slows down the process, which means we might have a year and a half of some slightly good things from a war perspective, things slowing down, but going into 2026, then we have problems. Having said that, they might throw other curveballs at him. Remember, Bidenomics was really great for the U.S. economy, and on our chats, we discussed how they were revising all these numbers after the fact. Now they might not do that. Once Trump is sworn in, maybe they'll just let the numbers be what they are, and they'll say, look, it's Trump's fault that the economy's gone so bad. Having said that, there's also the debt ceiling chat coming up at the start of January, even before he's sworn in. So they might extend it maybe for a few more months and then let it fall under him. There's so many tricks they have up their sleeve, Mac, to stop him. And don't forget, they might even try and still assassinate him. So hopefully the president and the vice president don't fly on the same plane.
Well, I'm just, they've been advised not to. CNN's reporting, and you know, well, when it gets to CNN, you wonder if it's shaping a message or it's actual reporting. Okay, so put that filter on. Stockpile diapers, medication, baby food. NATO members Sweden and Finland, remember Sweden's only, what, been in there for a short time, advise citizens on how to survive war. Now, is that fear messaging, or do you think that's a legitimate, you know,
advisory? It's not fear. In fact, those are the two countries that have recently joined NATO, and they never needed to. They were independent. But there was a, I think there's a communication cable under these countries that was cut off. Connecting them to Germany or something along those lines. Even though it was an operation, as I said, they will try and find any excuse to try and start war. So if you had noticed, Poland, as a country which is on the border as well, had kind of, I think they were contributing, I think about 5% of their GDP towards NATO spending. They know they're going to war. They have to put in more money. And France and, Finland and Sweden are now in the same boat. So yes, they're prepping their citizens. And they can say, oh, we had intel that Russia was going to bomb us. But if I'm being honest, as I said, this is World War III. It escalates from here in the Middle East. Countries will have to pick sides. And it does become a world war where you have to pick sides.
Well, I asked Winston Peters, whose side are we on? And he said, we're on the side of peace. Which was a, you know, pretty, maybe he'd rehearse that answer. But I want to know whose side we're on.
Now, of course, if he says he's on the side of peace, why are we giving money to Ukraine?
Yeah.
Simple question. Million. Why are we giving money to Ukraine? Because peace means you don't aid either side. But no, we're trying to please one side. I think countries like New Zealand and Australia have to balance this out. With trade, we say, oh, we're on China's side. But when it comes to military conflicts, we say we're on the American UK side. We just got to be very careful how this plays out, because
I don't want to be targeted. We don't want to be targeted.
We just want to be left alone, right?
We're perceived as a bolt hole for the elite globalists, and they're going to go there. Well, I'd take the place out too if I was going crazy.
Yeah, there was a joke with one of my clients the other day when Donald Trump got elected. Americans are Googling how to leave America, and the top two searches were Canada and New Zealand.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a joke that Peter Thiel and his mates will be coming to New Zealand and bidding the house prices up. I'm just joking. Yeah. But that's a joke, right? But you just got to understand, fun and jokes aside, this is going to have an impact on all of us, because when there's war, as I mentioned before, not only does inflation go up, mate, the New Zealand dollar is going to drop. It already has dropped after Trump's election. They're slowly recuperating, and next week the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has to call the
OCI. How big?
I think 0.25, 0.5. It depends, Matt, because the currency is going to take a massive hit with what's going on. If bombs are landed, the currency is going to drop crazy anyway. So they've got to be careful. In fact, even if you jump on the RBNZ website and just there's a short clip by one of their governors, assistant governors, explaining the OCR, they changed that clip. There was some kid who was talking about this, and now there's somebody else. He actually says, oh, we increase interest rates to help you with inflation, because it also helps the New Zealand dollar stay up, which means when we import stuff into our country, it's cheaper. So they know the interest rate has an effect, obviously, on, well, they know, but they don't want the average person to know. But if, again, going back to what these conversations are about, the reserve banks around the world, they are the arsonist and they're the firefighters, mate. They create these conditions for inflation and these problems. If there was no government unlimited funding, how would they send money to Ukraine, or we would give money to Ukraine? Why is New Zealand giving 100? Don't we have roads to build? Don't we have infrastructure to build?
Hospitals to build.
So what is this? This virtue signaling, saying which side are we taking? We have.
Well, it's like someone's holding a gun to your head, like you must give them the money.
Well,
like a mafia shakedown or something.
It is. It is the bully.
Because I'd say no. I'd say no way you're getting that money for that. Sorry.
But we would say we're paying taxes. Why are we paying taxes for something, some war to continue in Ukraine? So if we are on the side of peace, we should be not giving any money to any side. And we should just, India's maintained neutrality. India's being pulled by both sides. India's maintained neutrality so far. But again, they're going to be dragged into this problem as well because there's a lot of nuclear powers. Indonesia's just joined BRICS. They've been admitted into BRICS. I'm just trying to think of the other country that's been pulled towards the Western side in Asia. It was Thailand and Philippines. So even in Asia, there's going to be dividing lines and stuff like that. So yeah, World War III is on the cards. It's kind of coming around 2026 now, but that doesn't stop Russia dropping a bomb here and there. If it escalates, if Ukraine doesn't stop this, I'm pretty sure Trump and the Pentagon's going to get on the phone and say, "Hey, Ukraine, one more of these, and you'll have problems.
You're on your own."
Well, technically, but he can't do it. See, because he can't do it because he's not president yet. And this is exactly why they're doing this. They're saying Biden's a president for the full 4-year terms, and not 3 years, 10 months. Okay, so he can do what he wants because he's still the president. And this is why they're throwing all these problems at him. Because once the NATO war starts and Article 5 comes into effect, because if you attack one NATO country,
you're all in.
And that
you're
is it. Then you're in. And they know if Trump comes in, he might even go to the extent where he might say, "Okay, if you guys are not funding or putting your share of GDP into NATO,
be there.
We're leaving NATO." Because he might Article even leave 5. The WHO. No. There's talk about him wanting to leave the WHO now that RFK Jr. has come. That would be great. But there's stuff happening behind the scenes. The tariffs, I'm not quite sure, because he's talked about getting rid of income taxes and bringing in tariffs. There's certain ways it can be done. We've discussed it in our groups as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not going to be that easy. There's a massive debt hang. And some people are even saying Bitcoin's going to be the answer. I can tell you now, Bitcoin's a trading vehicle. Have some fun with it. Don't expect it to be the next global reserve currency or anything like that. They will pull the rug from underneath you when it suits them.
All right.
So don't put all your eggs in the Bitcoin basket either.
We're up against time, Farzan. That was fantastic. Thanks for beaming in again. Look forward to another chat before the end of the year. There's the year, but, you know, when we would start
Christmas
winding
break.
Up, you know, Christmas, that's it. All right, Farzan, thanks so much. All the best.
Hey, thanks, mate. Pleasure always.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.